Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by the Growth Platform Framework. B2B FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@ipractitioners.com. Now, over to the show with Richard Dozy, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we have Mark Berry, Director of Customer and Partner Success at FinTech OS out here in the UK, in London. Great to have you on the show.
Hey, Richard. Yeah, good. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to having a chat. And yeah, all good.
Cool. I mean, maybe we can kick off the show with you telling us a bit about yourself and a bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, currently I work for FinTech OS, which is, you know, end-to-end digital transformation specialist. There I'm running the customer success and partner success team. You know, my background over the last kind of 10, 12 years or so has been focused on customer success. So I worked for, a large global financial information company called FactSet, which is an American company. And there I started out, you know, on the ground in customer success, working with, you know, banks, hedge funds, asset managers. And then through that, over a period of 9 years or so, you know, went through the management structure, and I ended up running customer success across continental Europe. And then a couple of years ago, I jumped over into the startup world. I joined Bud, which is an open banking startup here in the UK. And I spent a few months there, you know, building out the customer support function. And then pretty much exactly a year ago, I jumped over to FinTech OS, again, to help build out the customer success setup. And again, from there, over the last 12 months, you know, I've taken on a couple of more responsibilities, partner success being one, and also looking after our training and enablement setup. And so, yeah, so, you know, FinTech OS, it's a Romanian company. It was founded in Romania a few years ago by a couple of entrepreneurs. And, you know, we work with financial institutions mostly, not only, but mostly financial institutions to help them, you know, bring, you know, new innovative digital solutions to market, you know, quicker they could do on their own, basically. So, you know, we work from things like building mobile apps to help them onboard a new customer or open a new account, you know, in insurance, getting them new insurance quotes or managing their insurance stuff online, you know, but we can also do the back end stuff as well. So core banking infrastructure, core insurance infrastructure. And then again, you know, we have like retail customers and public bodies we work with, pretty varied approach. And, you know, we've won a couple of awards over the last few years. You know, we've been voted the hottest startup in Europe, within the FinTech 50. So yeah, so it's been a quick growth. And really, you know, from year to year, we're expanding and, you know, right now looking to grow our presence, you know, globally.
Cool. And a really interesting background. I mean, maybe let's stay on FinTech OS for a second. You mentioned you work with financial institutions and what have you to help them innovate. I mean, could you maybe give us an example of how you help these financial institutions innovate and what sort of value you guys bring to the equation?
Yeah, sure. So I think there's a couple of angles to this, and you know, that we think about really. And the first one is speed to market and basically helping firms, financial institutions move quicker and more effectively in terms of innovation and digital innovation specifically, you know, than they could do on their own. Most traditional financial institutions are, you know, across Europe, you know, big banks, big insurance companies, you know, they're just ill-equipped in lots of different ways to, you know, move quickly from a technology perspective to really keep pace with, you know, what consumers are expecting now, and also competitors, you know, challenger banks, insurtechs, you know, that are really built from the ground up on modern technology and with a, you know, a modern view of what consumers, you know, are demanding. You know, so if you take the insurance world, for example, you know, if you look at, you know, firms like Lemonade, you know, which has just, you know, IPO'd very successfully, got companies like Allen, France, you know, most big insurance companies that you can think of are like, they're a million miles away from being able to offer, you know, what these guys offer in terms of user experience, customer service, business model, etc. And so, you know, whilst, you know, we can't build, you know, the next Lemonade, you know, tomorrow, what we do is we work with insurance companies to help them move in that direction and, you know, quicker and cheaper, quite frankly, than they can do otherwise. And so, you know, for example, we've seen this obviously over the last 6 months, especially in Eastern Europe. We have, you know, a lot of our business, you know, in banking and actually also in insurance, that's still, it's a very branch-driven system, the financial services. And of course, over the last 6-8 months or so, that's caused problems. And so, you know, a lot of these banks have had to accelerate, you know, their ability to do stuff online. And even if a lot of these places had, you know, mobile apps or online offerings for things like opening a current account, when it comes to things like mortgages or loans doing online, they just don't have it set up. And so it's things like that, which they'll come to us and say, we can build that and get them something out in a, you know, maybe 6, 8, 10 weeks, you know, which is really low risk for them relative to investing and building it themselves. And so that's really that acceleration is really one of our USPs. And then I think the other side of it is really then, you know, as well as speed, is bringing them, and, you know, by them, I mean, kind of the financial institutions, closer to their customers and vice versa. And, you know, I think most banks, insurance companies now, you know, they have a very detached, I'd say, transactional relationship, you know, which is often designed to be beneficial to the institution and, you know, at the detriment of the customer. You know, for example, with insurance, you know, making it very difficult to understand why your policies go up year on year, or make it very difficult to cancel insurance policies, for example. But yeah, if you look at the, or, you know, in banking, you know, making it in the past very difficult to freeze your card when you lose it and stuff like that. But if you look at, you know, the approaches that, again, the insurtechs, the challenger banks, et cetera, are taking, they built themselves with a big focus on personalization, on the user experience. And they, you know, they're trying to have an ongoing relationship with the users in terms of building them into an ecosystem rather than it just being once a year you speak to an insurance company to cancel or renew it. So we talk a lot about, you know, with our customers, we have this concept of hyper-personalization, which is basically, you know, helping companies that we work with use the data that they have, which is usually spread over, you know, disparate systems, a legacy infrastructure, really difficult to surface, really difficult to really use it. You know, so we basically, you know, have what we call an evolutive data core, which basically sits on top of their infrastructure and allows them to use all of that data in a way which gives them, you know, the ability to offer really tailored, personalized, meaningful service to the customers. And so I think, you know, that combination of, you know, speed to market, but also the ability to really be smarter in terms of what you can offer to them is where we speak to a lot of customers.
That's a very interesting insight there. Just, I guess, for our listeners, so we all grasp the concept. I mean, am I right in saying that you help financial institutions innovate and compete with, you know, fintechs, insurtechs, et cetera? And also, you know, you help them get closer to their customers, make it a more customer-centric journey rather than a transactional journey.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that said, we don't just work with, you know, the traditional firms. So we do have contacts, you know, with, you know, modern challenger banks, with other providers. So, you know, if you look, for example, at a couple of other things which, you know, have come in over the last few years, and, you know, things like digital security, digital know your customer stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you've got firms out there like Onfido, got, you know, other firms out there doing things like digital signatures. So things like, you know, companies like DocuSign, you know, Numerial, others, you know, all of these kind of, let's say, standalone components, you know, of a journey, you know. And so we refer to the term journey a lot in FinTech OS. So for example, you know, opening a current account on your mobile app, that's a journey, or taking a loan out online is a journey. You know, a lot of these things over the last few years have come in where, again, because, you know, you can't walk into a branch now, or, you know, because of obviously COVID, or, you know, because people just don't want to do that anymore, things like being able to verify your identity online using, you know, a selfie, you know, Revolut really kind of, I think, brought this type of thing to market, being able to quickly onboard on your app, you know, using a, you know, a video call, being able to sign a document electronically, you know, using a one-time passkey, things like that. So all of these types of companies now, which, you know, are forming this ecosystem really of fintechs, you know, we work with a lot of these types of companies, you know, in terms of integrating them into our offering so that we can really offer, you know, an end-to-end flexible solution across different markets and across different verticals. So we work with, you know, yeah, a lot of traditional insurance firms, traditional banks, et cetera, and on FSI, but then we're also, you know, working with these types of cutting edge technologies as well to really try and make sure that, you know, we have a product which can work across different use cases.
Makes complete sense. I mean, let's take a step into your world, customer and partner success. I mean, and maybe the first sort of insight is trying to understand how your experience, your previous experience, has helped you in setting up that team and that organization. Because obviously you guys are scaling pretty fast, so it's had to be done at a rapid pace.
Yeah, absolutely. And my background has positioned me quite well in the sense that you know, I worked for a big global company to start with, and I spent a lot of years there. And, you know, again, both on the ground. So I was, you know, I was the CSM, the customer success manager, basically going in, you know, every day to investment banks, into wealth managers, et cetera, and really working with the users to understand, you know, what are you trying to get out of the system? How can we set it up to be able to really benefit you? You know, as I grew in that role, and as I, you know, started to work with, you know, more institutions in different geographies, and I started to kind of take on more responsibility, I got to understand, you know, obviously how to, you know, manage people and lead teams, but also how to, you know, work with customers and to understand, especially in financial services, you know, how to communicate with these types of banks who, you know, a lot of the time, they don't know what they want, or, you know, internally the communication can sometimes be challenging. And so really trying to, you know, work with them to help them understand what it is they're trying to do. And I think, you know, working in a big company like that gave me, you know, a lot of exposure. You know, we worked with pretty much every major bank around the world, every major, you know, asset manager. And so I was really to be able to get a broad view of how to deal with these types of institutions and how to work with big teams. I mean, you know, by the time I left, I was managing, you know, 100 people across EMEA. And then from there, you know, moving, jumping straight into a, you know, a startup, which was, you know, less than 100 people and had just come off Series A and didn't have any clients, basically, you know, and setting stuff up from scratch. You know, again, that really gave me a, you know, grounding in terms of, you know, when you have nothing, when you have none of that stuff that I had at FactSet, what you need to do and how quickly do you need to move, and how you really start from the ground in terms of looking at, you know, what it is as a company you're trying to achieve, you know, where you fit in, what processes you need first. And again, you know, how to approach, you know, as a startup, we were talking to, you know, again, some of the biggest banks in the world. And when you're a startup and when you have, you know, no name and no brand and no processes, you know, obviously, you know, the conversations that you have and the challenges that you have in dealing with big banks is very different. And they have a very different view of you. And, you know, the way that you have to prove yourself and talk about yourself is very different. And, you know, they hold all the cards, basically. And so I think that really opened my eyes in terms of, you know, when you're building a support function at that level and a success function, as well as kind of operate at a leadership level in that type of company, what's important in terms of, you know, first and foremost, you know, your product has to be on point, your messaging has to be on point, because that, you know, and then everything in terms of your company has to really give the customer confidence. And so I kind of moving into FinTech OS, I think that's that, you know, I've taken those lessons forward. And I think, you know, here I've started to think about, you know, again, as a startup, and over the last 12 months or so, you know, I think we've been, you know, customer success is definitely an evolving function here. And when you're growing at the pace that we do, I think, you know, we've really taken a lot of kind of tactical or short-term views in terms of what we're doing in CS. And so, you know, I try to take a very pragmatic approach in that, you know, the focus, you know, for us right now as a startup is on, you know, execution, on growth, on, you know, making sure our customers are happy, and, you know, things like, you know, processes and how we operationalize stuff and all that kind of conversation is, you know, it's important, but it takes a backseat, you know, to making sure that, you know, if a customer needs something and, you know, we need to make them happy, then if it's not in our job description or et cetera, it doesn't really matter. It's about making sure that, you know, the customer, you know, gets what they need. And so for us in CS over the last 12 months, you know, really it's been a case of jumping and around and wearing different hats, you know, so doing firefighting or tackling daily questions or, you know, doing project management or, you know, doing, you know, revenue or churn management or negotiating renewals, et cetera. So, you know, whilst we've brought in some CS processes, so we have a pretty basic like health scoring system, for example, which we use to set objectives, it's really been about, you know, that focus on, you know, execution and first, and making sure that as a company, we build credibility with the clients in terms of delivering what we say we're going to deliver. So I think that's been the big learning experience, I think, that I've into this role. And obviously on the back of that, you know, we're looking at building out the strategy and the real structure in CS. And that's something that we're going through right now. So, you know, one of the challenges with CS sometimes, especially when you do that kind of tactical approach that I've talked about, is that, you know, the role of CS can be a bit unstructured. It can be a bit blurry. You know, they do a bit of sales, they do a bit of delivery, they do a bit of project management, they do a bit of even, you know, creating legal documents and stuff. So, you know, it can see a bit, well, you know, what's the defined role? What are the objectives? And so you know, what we're trying to do right now is take a step back and say, what does customer success mean at FintechOS? Mm. You know, not just in terms of the job role, not just in terms of the function, but, you know, as a company, what's our CS philosophy? You know, how do we all work together? How does sales and customer success and delivery fit together to really, you know, work around that concept of making our customers successful? You know, and I'm very fortunate. So I report to the CEO, and he's a big believer in CS. And I think he admits himself, you know, over the last 12 months or so, his knowledge and understanding of CS has grown. He's educated himself around why it's important. Again, not in terms of, you know, the function or job role of CSMs, but in terms of the concept as a revenue, you know, recurring revenue-based company, why it's so important that we have, you know, a customer success philosophy. So yeah, so I think, you know, that's still a path that we're on. There's still, you know, journey that and things that we need to go through. But you know, I think we're starting on that path now, and over the next kind of 6 months or so, it's something which is at the forefront of our mind as a company.
A lot of interesting points you mentioned there. I'll pick one out. You mentioned execution first, and you know, I love that because it's important to execute. It's important to make certain that your clients see value quickly. And on that note, you know, when you onboard a new client and you know they're onboarded on day one, how do you make certain they get value, you know, extremely quickly right off the bat on day one? Is there, you know, methods or tactics you use to get that value into the client?
So again, I would say that, you know, time to value, you know, and speed of delivery is, it's like literally part of our sales pitch in terms of, you know, and we have customers who have, you know, gone with us and chosen FintechOS purely because, you know, we've been able to commit to getting them up and running a much faster time than anybody else. But, you know, that said, we're not an off the shelf, you know, kind of SaaS product, you know, so it's not just a case of dropping some logins over to our customers and then, you know, they're away. There's a relatively, you know, long lead time between signing the contract or, you know, agreeing to go with FintechOS and then actually going live with the product, you know, and so, you know, it can be weeks, you know, 8 weeks, it can be 3 months, it can be 6 months. It, you know, really depends on the complexity of what the customer is doing. And so, you know, we go through a full analysis phase, scoping phase with them to make sure we understand, you know, the business requirements, what they're trying to achieve, the technical requirements, et cetera, before we start actually building stuff. But I guess the key really for us, and again, it differs from customer to customer, but we try to always operate on kind of an iterative, you know, agile basis, meaning that, you know, as we go through the development process, we're in constant contact with the customer and we're doing regular kind of demos and updates as to what it is we're building so that they can see, you know, what it is that their end product will look like. They can see something tangible. They can, you know, see and taste, you know, this is what it's going to look like. And that way we can verify that, you know, as we're going down the road, it's in line with their expectations. And I think that mechanism of working directly alongside the customer throughout the process is our answer to try and get in that kind of time to value. I think the other side of it is obviously once they go live, that's where CS really comes in. And, you know, we usually introduce into the process earlier than that, but that's where we would really look to come in, understand and tie back, you know, to their objectives and metrics that we quantified at the start of the process, or the salespeople quantified at the start of the process, and start to talk to the customer about, okay, you know, you've just launched or you launched a month ago. How successful has it been? You know, what, you know, you told us you were trying to achieve this objective. Has that been met? That's really our answer. I think, you know, but we are working on other processes. I think we need to kind of, there's more work that we can do to get that time to value realized even quicker. Again, I think that's part of our, you know, journey over the next few months.
Yeah. I like what you're saying about sort of the feedback loop. And I guess it's part of customer and client engagement. And in a way, that process and that feedback loop help. It sounds like it's helping you develop a deeper understanding of the clients and also a deeper relationship with the clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's a process which I'm, you know, I'm looking at right now. And, you know, I think customer feedback in and of itself, it's, you know, it's a multi-dimensional task really, or concept in the sense that, you know, it really needs to come in lots of different ways, and you need to have different avenues as a company to be able to ingest it and review it and act on it. And so I would say at the moment, or over the last kind of 12, 18 months or so, our feedback process is mostly qualitative in the sense that, you know, it comes from, you know, speaking to the customers, it comes from, you know, the meetings and, you know, that we have with them, and just the regular conversations, understanding how things are going, you know, tackling challenges, stuff like that. And that relationship-based feedback is obviously super important. It's really been driving the developments, you know, of our product, and it's been in, you know, driving our know, where we put our attention is customer success. And, you know, one of the things which, you know, I suppose linked to this that we're, you know, we're looking to build on, and again, I'm looking at right now, which is, you know, building things like joint roadmaps with customers and really opening up, you know, the conversation with them around, you know, what they're looking to do in the next 12 months, what we're looking to do, you know, aligning the, you know, their objectives with their pipeline and stuff like that. And again, we're doing that kind of like informally right now with some customers, but not really in any kind of operationalized way. And so we're just going through a process now of, you know, starting to identify who our key strategic customers are. You know, again, we built up obviously a good customer base, but we've never really analyzed them in terms of, you know, segmenting and, you know, what kind of experience each customer wants with us in terms of, you know, from a CS or ongoing relationship perspective, you know, who are our, you know, big kind of tier one customers that we need to be, you know, having a, you know, a really kind of one-to-one mindset with, who are our customers who, you know, expect, you know, a different type of service, you know, maybe not quite as in-depth, et cetera. Who are the customers that we, you know, that want to have that relationship with us where, you know, they tell us about, you know, they talk to us about our roadmap and their roadmap, et cetera. And so we have that kind of feedback process in place. But, you know, we've started, you know, then, and again, this is something which, you know, I'm looking to build on, is to start introducing, you know, more quantitative mechanisms for feedback. So we have done, you know, a few months ago, we did our first real customer survey, NPS, you know, Net Promoter Score survey.
Yeah.
You know, the response rate wasn't great, to be honest. I mean, it was in line with, I think, kind of typically what you expect, you know, the average for you know, the industry, but it was pretty low. And there was also, you know, I think a learning experience for me in terms of, you know, again, we operate a lot in Central Eastern Europe. And so, you know, we had a few responses which kind of indicated that, you know, the people that receiving it, they didn't really understand just the concept of NPS, you know. So we had people, for example, there's someone respond who we know is a big champion of FinTech OS at one of our key customers, but they scored a 0 on the survey or a 1 on the survey. And, you know, the response was, you know, why would I recommend a vendor to a friend? And so, you know, for me, that kind of was just like, oh, you know, clearly, they, you know, maybe just the whole concept of the NPS question itself doesn't really resonate that well. So, you know, maybe I need to change that moving forward. And so, you know, we're starting to look at, you know, those types of things, where they fit in our journey, who and how often we ask these kind of questions, how we do it to get the most effective feedback, you know, things like doing NPS on our service desk. So we have a technical support desk, which we've never really, you know, built into any kind of any kind of feedback mechanisms. We're doing that. And, you know, I think the other thing is we're breaking down, you know, I'm looking to break down our customer journey into specific phases and really try and target specific feedback around, you know, particular phases of that journey so that we can really identify, you know, where we have drop-offs in terms of our service quality and take action specifically at that point.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are doing a lot in this space. I mean, you mentioned that you are using some elements of customer feedback and you're pushing that back into different teams in the organization. I mean, what other strategies are you using to make certain that you keep connection with, for example, the product team or the delivery team or the professional services team as you guys continue to grow, continue to scale, such that you're all on the same page?
Yeah, so it's a good question. And actually, I think this is one of the things which we've identified as an area that, you know, that we can improve. I think one of the challenges, as you said, of going so quickly is that, you know, you get a lot of new faces into the company and different teams, and, you know, all of a sudden things can start to split off in their own different directions. And so I think the first thing is, and I kind of touched on this already, but, you know, I'm working with, again, with the CEO, and it's driving it really from the top down on this concept of, you know, bringing all of the customer facing teams and roles together around a single unified concept of customer success. And obviously then linking that out, you know, to the product teams in terms of, you know, helping them understand, for example, who our key strategic customers are. So again, I think, you know, as we've grown and as we've ingested, you know, more and more customers, kind of what naturally happens obviously is you get a lot of competing demands. And of course, for a startup and, you know, when you're growing, every customer is really important, but also you get to a stage where, you know, if you have conflicting demands and competing priorities, you really have to have mechanisms to be able to overcome and resolve those. And so I think, you know, we're going through, again, exercises right now where we're saying, okay, you know, we have to recognize that we have a group of customers who just need a different level of service, not a better level of service. I don't see it in terms of offering them a better level of service, because I believe that every customer should get the same kind of quality of service, but they just need a different level of service. They need more frequent contact. They need more dedicated resources, et cetera. And so I think for us, it's our job, for example, in sales and customer success, to help the product teams and delivery teams understand that and understand who they are. And then, like I said, a minute ago, the other thing is, bringing the sales and the delivery team and the customer success team and, the marketing team, for example, around a common definition of what do we mean by customer success and what's your role in it? So if you're a salesperson, what's your role in customer success? And so, for example, that might be, making sure that, what you're committing to in the pre-sales process, is what is followed through when we bring in the delivery team, for example. So again, a common thing which happens and which we've seen is, the sales team or the pre-sales team say, yeah, we can do this. Yeah, we can do that. Or yeah, if you want to achieve that in this time frame, no problem. And then, somebody from the delivery organization steps in and says, I'm sorry, that's totally unrealistic. Or we can't do that. Or we don't have the capacity to do that, et cetera. And obviously from the customer's perspective, if you look at it, its satisfaction level just completely drops through the floor. And all of a sudden, before you've even started, you're on the back foot. And so I think, mapping kind of, for example, that phase and doing a better, job around that, that's their role or part of their role in terms of customer success. And then, for me, obviously, from a CS perspective, it's about, for example, understanding, okay, when we sold you this product, a year ago, you said to us that one of the things you wanted to achieve is you wanted to be able to, onboard X amount of new customers, or you wanted to, increase your speed of process from, whatever, like an hour to 5 minutes. Have you achieved that? And if not, where are you at and what steps do we still need to take to be able to do that? How do I interact with the project manager? For example, if the project manager is on a project and we have a challenge or an issue that comes up, what's the dynamic between us and how do we resolve that from the customer's perspective? Because, we don't want the customer to have different contact points all the time and stuff. So it's really about, I think, mapping out, all the roles, all the tasks, all the responsibilities, and circling it back to that concept of making the customer successful and making sure that everybody has their eye on that and has their responsibility, whether it's fixing a bug or delivering a project or closing a sale or, getting the satisfaction up or, getting them to do a case study, et cetera, making sure that's all linked back to the same goal of, making them successful.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I completely agree with you there. And as you guys, continue over the next 12 months, 24 months, and you continue, scaling, what questions are you asking yourselves and what factors are you considering as you continue on that growth and scale trajectory?
Yeah, so I think the next 12 months or so is going to be probably the most exciting and challenging 12 months so far for us. We raised Series A a year ago, just less than a year ago. We've continued to grow since then. So you can expect to see us back in the funding space, in the coming months to really try and accelerate our growth. We've developed again a really strong presence in Central Eastern Europe. We're a very well-known name though. We work with pretty much all of the major financial institutions and, we've started to take some steps outside of that, in Western Europe. We've got a good presence now. We've got a team of probably 20 people now, I think, in the UK. We've hired quite a few people recently. Our CEO is relocated here, to help drive the growth. We've doubled our headcount in Amsterdam, really. And, we've got our CTO is there now, and we've just hired a VP of marketing in Amsterdam. So we're really investing, looking to grow and expand our presence, investing a lot in our product capabilities, delivery capabilities, so for me personally, I expect as our customer base grows, obviously I'll expect to grow the team kind of 3 or 4x over the next year or so. We'll expand that. We're working more and more with partners. So we work with, a lot of partners across Europe that help kind of sell and deliver our technology. And as we work with more of those, we need to bring in more people to help manage that. But I think in terms of, in terms of questions and factors, I think the first one, and I guess the big one is the scalability of our product. So our product is quite complex. Again, like I said, we're not a what are an off-the-shelf kind of product which you can just kind of log into. It takes, we have a decent size professional services practice, like, so we have partners that we work with, it can be anything from a few weeks to a few months in terms of getting customers up and running. But I think, and whilst that will always remain the case, I think what our ambition really is and what we're starting to do now with our kind of newest product releases, we're really driving towards a kind of no code, low code setup, and we really want to open up access to our technology, I think, on a much wider basis, and empower our customers and our partners to build using FintechOS themselves. So, we see ourselves very much as a product company, we're not a services company. And so I think, we obviously have, when you look at in the market, I think we compare ourselves a lot, even though they're not, directly in our space. We look at companies like UiPath, which incidentally is Romanian. So there's always a good kind of, good view of what they're doing from our perspective. But other companies like OutSystems, Appian, these guys have been really, really successful on the back of, really democratizing access to the product and making it quite easy for people to come in and start building really cool stuff using their technology. And so I think for us, one of the things that we're looking to do is if you have, as a company, if you have a big reliance on your professional services practice, so every time a customer wants to do something with FintechOS, they come to us and we have to go through a whole kind of, scoping process, and they have to pay, professional services fees and line up the project, a few months down the road. Obviously, it creates a big barrier, to growth. And so one of the things that we're looking to do is really kind of, again, open that up. We're building, we're investing in a lot in training. We're building an online academy, FintechOS Academy, which will be, again, open access online so that people can come in and go, okay, FintechOS, is a platform. It looks really cool. Can I get certified on it? Can I start to build things myself? And for our customers, especially, I think really that's the way forward is we want to be able to kind of put FintechOS in the customer and say, of course, upfront, we will build stuff with you and we'll always obviously be there to support them. But, if you want to, for example, whether you're a bank, if you want to build your onboarding journey with us and we'll do it with you, then when you want to add on, for example, a credit card journey or a mortgage journey, you can do it yourself. And I think we see that, that's a really obviously big way to kind of accelerate the growth. And I think the other thing probably just in terms of factors and questions is adapting to different markets. So not just in terms of the product, but in terms of, the marketing and the positioning of the product. And I think actually, there's a lot of similarities between markets in terms of, especially across Europe. So, for example, everybody is talking about open banking, right? And how they bring that in and, whether it's in the UK or in Romania or in Poland or wherever else, is open banking is at the forefront of a lot of people's minds, and as is mobile first, online first. But there's also still a lot of differences. So again, as I said, I think I said earlier, in Eastern Europe there's still a big reliance on the branch network, for example, in banking. But here in the UK, people are closing branches left, right, and center, and so how does that affect your position, as a brand? How do you work around that? What's your messaging? As well as things like, regulation, compliance, differences, there's a lot of different views and requirements, for example, around the use of cloud service providers and stuff like that. And so, none of that stuff is really standardized across Europe. And so for us, we're starting again from a process perspective, operational perspective, we're starting to look at and think about how we adapt, to that. What's worked in Eastern Europe might not necessarily work exactly the same as we come to tackle, the UK, which is a slightly more mature market in terms of digital capabilities. So things like that, I think, again, are big questions for us.
Yes, I mean, listen, some really great and valuable insights there. I mean, I could pick up on many points. And maybe one is, I quite like what you mentioned about scalability, making certain that you have a product that is scalable. And part of that is empowering your customers. And you guys obviously in the midst of setting up a training academy. I mean, that's pretty impressive because that gives you, ultimate scalability. You don't need to have boots on the ground. Your professional services team can be lean and move around from project to project pretty quickly.
Exactly. No, yeah, exactly. And so whilst we will always have that, and at the end of the day, especially when you're talking about big projects, a lot of banks, financial institutions, they need that support. They need external expertise, whether it's on on the ground in terms of development, or whether they're talking about the you know, overall technical architecture or, you know, solution architecture, et cetera, or even just, you know, we get a lot of questions from banks, insurance companies in terms of, you know, what are our competitors doing? Mm. What do you see in the market? So all of this type of service and advice, you know, our customers ask for. And so we'll always have that. And I think it's a really big factor for us. But yeah, absolutely. Like you said, is at the same time, you know, the expectation now and more so with any type of, you know, technology is that it becomes more and more plug and play and that the lead time to, like you say, you know, from saying yes to actually using it, you know, it's shrinking on a, you know, on a regular basis. And so, you know, we need to obviously kind of make sure that we go with that and really, again, simplify our product to the extent that, you know, somebody who has, you know, a good technical background, for example, can open up FintechOS and really just start building stuff and, you know, then collaborate with people. And again, you know, as well as the Academy, we're looking to build things like community, you know, FintechOS community and forum and things like that, where people can start to share ideas and, you know, talk about what they've built. And you see a lot in the market, for example, you know, people talking about, you know, how quick onboarding journeys are now or how many clicks they have and stuff like that. And I think, you know, all those type of kind of little angles are really interesting and create a really good base for a you know, community built around this type of innovation. And so I think that's really the focus point for us. And it's again, yeah, absolutely right. It's about, you know, putting our customers in the position where we can say to them, look, you know, here's FintechOS. Again, we're here for you. We'll help you. But equally, you know, you can build this yourselves over the next few years. You can really extend this in whatever way you want and plug it into and you know, overlay it onto your existing systems. Because that's one of the other things which we come across a lot is obviously, you know, taking systems out of institution, finance institutions especially, is very difficult. It's not really about that. It's about how do you fit alongside those existing, you know, systems and within their existing infrastructure to add new things. And so that's really, I think, you know, what we're trying to do.
Yeah, cool. And as directors and leaders of businesses, we're always looking to continuously improve. And in that vein, I mean, have you been reading or just finished reading any books or listening to any podcasts that you've been inspired by and you think the community might benefit from?
Oh, good question. Yeah, so actually in the, you know, over the last several years, you know, I've been a big fan of, you know, leadership development and trying to improve myself as a, you know, as a leader and as you know, somebody operating at a, you know, at a high level within the company. You know, I have to admit over the last kind of, you know, 6 months or so during lockdown, I've kind of, you know, I've focused more on, you know, reading, you know, less stressful stuff. So I'm just finishing off the Witcher series, funnily enough. But no, I think, you know, actually something that I referenced recently because internally, so, and something that I'm a big fan of is, you know, we're looking at ways that I'm leading a, you know, a kind of program internally that looks at, you know, how we develop our reward systems internally. And I referenced, you know, a great book, which I'm a big fan of, which is Drive by Daniel Pink. You know, you know, he talks about obviously what motivates us. And so, you know, that's something which is definitely, you know, influencing me right now in terms of, you know, how I'm approaching that. I think, you know, again, in terms of general leadership, you know, I'm a big fan of things, you know, by Daniel Goleman. So again, something for me really important from a CS perspective is emotional intelligence. So, you know, anybody who wants to get into this space or anybody who is in this space and is looking to grow, I think, you know, being really able to understand, you know, and empathize with your customers and put yourself in their position and, you know, manage yourself through challenging times and then helping manage them. I think, you know, that's a critical skill for me. And it is something that I look at really closely, you know, during, you know, interview processes and as people develop, you know, really making sure that they can put themselves in the position of the customer and that they have a commitment, really just a high, really high standard of customer service. The other thing I would say as well is again, for people in specifically from a CS world, there is a growing community, you know, for CS out there, you know, on LinkedIn and, you know, books, you know, now being released. I'd strongly encourage people to look at those, go on Amazon and you know, search for customer success and you'll find quite a few. But you know, there's a lot of development now in that space in terms of best practices and, you know, how to actually go about, you know, everything from how do you build a success plan with a customer to, you know, how do you do, you know, business reviews with them. I think because there's no right and wrong answers yet really in customer success, there's still a lot of questions around, you know, the best way to do things and what the role of CS is. I think, you know, reading the that kind of stuff, taking inspiration from, people who are doing the role and have been doing the role for a while is something which you know we should all do.
Yeah, no, totally agree with you. And as we wrap up the show, I mean, how can people find and connect with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so FintechOS, you know, you can just, you know, find us online or on LinkedIn. You know, me personally, you can look me up on LinkedIn, just, you know, Mark Berry. I think, you know, we're trying to do a lot more from a FintechOS perspective. You know, we're doing a lot more in terms of events and stuff. So if you follow us on LinkedIn, for example, you'll see, you know, I was speaking with one of our customers just last week at a financial summit where we talked about innovation. Or, you know, we have a lot of people doing, you know, lots of different events around the industry. We're hosting our own event a few weeks called FinVision. It's the first event that we're hosting ourselves, you know, where we have a lot of senior speakers from the likes of MasterCard and Microsoft and banks, you know, from around Europe talking about, you know, the latest trends in finance, in banking, insurance, etc. So yeah, so I think probably LinkedIn, we post all of our stuff on there. So you can follow FintechOS on there. And, you know, again, you know, especially here in the UK, you'll see a lot more from us, you know, in that space.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks for taking the time today. And it's been pretty impressive listening to the insights that you shared with us. And again, thanks for taking the time today, Mark.
No, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.